Hubert Humphrey first rose to national attention in July of 1948. The scene was Philadelphia, the National Democratic Convention, and Mayor Hubert Humphrey of Minneapolis spoke on behalf of a minority plank to the party platform. It dealt with civil rights.
To those who say, my friends, to those who say that we are rushing this issue of civil rights, I say to them, we are 172 years late. To those who say that this civil rights program
So, Alice, if you're there and can hear us, perhaps you might set the scene for us there this morning.
Yes, Joe. Humphrey's body is scheduled to arrive here at the Air Force Base at 6:45. Members of the family are scheduled to arrive at about 7 o'clock, and Mrs. Humphrey at 7:15. Takeoff, again, is at 7:30.
Any kind of a crowd out there at the present time, Alice?
It's mostly persons from the media.
Mm-hmm. The morning news continues now on WCCO Radio. This is Dick Chapman from the WCCO Radio News Bureau. It was said of Hubert Humphrey, he gave politics a good name, and politics was his life. Right up until his death last night, shortly before 10 p.m., Humphrey, the eternal optimist, had been expecting to return to the U.S. Senate next week when the session resumed. He does return to Washington, but instead of for business, it'll be for the tributes that will flow as his body lies in state today at the Capitol building. Air Force One, dispatched by President Carter, is on the ground at Twin Cities International Airport to carry the senator's body to the national capitol. WCCO Radio's Alice Warren is at the scene now. We'll get a report from her around 7:30 as the flight departs. Last night, the word of Humphrey's death came from Vice President Mondale.
I've just talked to the president. Tell him that Hubert Humphrey has died.
That plank calling for a strong opposition in the favor of civil rights. Mayor Humphrey's campaign was national at times, and the best example of that was a radio broadcast that hooked up Hollywood celebrities and the candidate all live. And here is a portion of the broadcast. It featured, of all people, Ronald Reagan, then in 1948, a card-carrying Democrat.
This was the payoff of the Republicans' promises. And this is why we must have new faces in the Congress of the United States. Democratic faces. This is why we must elect not only President Truman, but also men like Mayor Hubert Humphrey of Minneapolis, the Democratic candidate for Senator from Minnesota. Mayor Humphrey, at 37, is one of the ablest men in public life. He's running against Joe Ball, who was a member of the Senate Labor Committee, helped write the Taft-Hartley.
13 degrees, the Cannon Mess. 20 will be the high today in the Twin Cities. On the line with us on CCO now from Cabin Bluff, Georgia, is the former governor of Minnesota, the former U.S. Agriculture Secretary, and a very close friend of the late Hubert Humphrey. I mean, Orville Freeman. Governor Freeman, could you share your thoughts with us this morning?
Well, I feel like people all over the world do this morning, very sad that the great Minnesotan and the great American and really the great international statesman has passed on.
The Cannon Mess at CCO, 14 degrees, the high today 20, low tonight 5, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the high tomorrow 15. On the line with us right now, from his cabin in northern Minnesota, is the former president of the University of Minnesota, Dr. Malcolm Moose. Dr. Moose, your ties to Hubert Humphrey go back to the mid-1930s at the university, don't they?
They go back a long way to the early 1930s when we were classmates and we were teaching assistants together in the political science department. And he's a dear and greatly admired friend. Politically, we were in different political parties, but had the highest respect for each other.
23 minutes now before 10. Cannon here with you on CCO. 14 degrees, high today, the Twins, 20. On the line with me right now from Washington is the former Minnesota congressman from the 3rd District, Clark McGregor. It was back in 1970 that Clark McGregor ran against Hubert Humphrey for the United States Senate. Clark, I'm wondering, what are your thoughts this morning?
Well, one remembers Hubert as a truly happy warrior, and I'm sure that's the way he would want to be remembered. It's surely the way my wife and I will remember him. And we do extend our deepest sympathy to Muriel Humphrey and to all members of the Humphrey and Solmanson families, but no one whose life had been touched by Hubert Humphrey could not be really enriched by that experience and saddened by the news last night.
That 1970 campaign was a hard-fought one, but it wasn't a bitter campaign.
Staff there involved every member of the family in understanding and solving Karen's...
Now, direct from CBS News, this special Radio Net Alert news report.
I'm Mariah McLaughlin, CBS News at Andrews Air Force Base, where the presidential jet has just arrived, returning the body of Senator Hubert Humphrey to lie in state at the Capitol for 24 hours. As the plane arrived, the door opened, and the sergeant of arms of the Senate, who had obviously flown out last night, came down the steps to greet Vice President.
As you probably heard throughout the night and in the early hours, and this morning, we've been talking with friends and colleagues of Senator Humphrey's, and on the line right now is Congressman Frazier. How are you this morning?
Fine, Charlie. How are you?
Where are you, in Washington?
No, I'm in Minneapolis.
I see. And we're glad you could have a chance to talk with us and kind of share your reminiscences with us, your thoughts about the legacy of Hubert Humphrey. Don, you're a protege of Hubert's, but when one thinks about it, it's hard to think of a prominent Democrat out of Minnesota the last 30 or 40 years who has not been a protege of Hubert Humphrey.
I think that's right. Humphrey has been sort of the political spiritual advisor for the party. He's been the person out in front who has kept emphasizing that what politics is all about is people and addressing their...
In Minneapolis and St. Paul at 9 minutes past 12 o'clock noon. You know, WCCO Radio shared a rather tense moment with Hubert Humphrey. Back in 1964, the nation's Democrats were gathered in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Lyndon Johnson was doing what he did best. He was equivocating on whom he would appoint as his vice presidential running mate. Well, at that moment, Senator Humphrey was on the phone on the Boone and Erickson Party Line show on WCCO Radio during a call-in, and Roger Erickson was on the line with Senator Humphrey, and then a bulletin from CBS Radio.
That received this education.
That is right,
Senator,
sir.
Just a moment. I'll interrupt here momentarily,
yes, sir.
Senator.
We have a CBS Net Alert bulletin coming up, and it is from Atlantic City. Senator, I believe you'll be able to hear this, too.
We interrupt this program for a CBS Radio Net Alert bulletin. This is CBS News correspondent Dan Rather at the White House, where President Lyndon Johnson has just said he intends to telephone Minnesota Senator Hubert Humphrey this afternoon. The president said that he would ask Senator Humphrey to come to the White House this afternoon from Atlantic City for a conference concerning the vice presidential nomination of the Democratic Party. Mr. Johnson also said he intended to be in touch with, he explained later he meant by telephone, with Minnesota's other senator, Eugene McCarthy. President Johnson emphasized to reporters during a three-mile hike on the south lawn of the White House that he had not yet made up his mind about the vice presidential nomination. He did say he intends to speak to the nation tonight via television and radio. He did not say he would definitely make the vice presidential nomination choice known this evening, but he indicated rather strongly that he would. The president said that he had been intending to talk to Senator Humphrey for some hours, that he would call him between 2 and 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Daylight Time this afternoon. That's between 2 and 3 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. The president indicated he would call Senator Humphrey in Atlantic City and invite him to the White House for a conference this afternoon or early this evening on the vice presidential nomination of the Democratic Party. This is CBS News correspondent Dan Rather at the White House. We now return you to your regularly scheduled program on this CBS Radio Net Alert station.
Senator, I'll tell you true. I didn't know that was coming.
I didn't know it either, and it indicates to me that I better get off these telephones.
I think so, too. Senator, we had hoped to have you longer, but I can see it's important now to clear...
On the line with us now on WCCO, remembering Hubert Humphrey, Dr. G. Theodore Mitau, professor emeritus at McAllister College in St. Paul, a noted political historian who has followed the career of Hubert Humphrey for several decades. Good morning, Doctor. Good afternoon, it is now. I wonder if you could share your thoughts with us this afternoon.
Well, obviously, this is a very difficult moment for the literally millions of friends that Senator and former Vice President Hubert Humphrey has made throughout his lifetime. His contributions will be widely commented on throughout the nation. We here in Minnesota will probably remember him and will always cherish him for at least four or five significant contributions. First of all, Hubert Humphrey was one of the major forces to help move Minnesota away from isolationism.
On the line with us now is a very special friend, Federal Appeals Court Justice Luther Youngdahl, the former governor of Minnesota, a dear friend of Hubert Humphrey and a dear friend of all Minnesotans. Justice Youngdahl, we understand that you've been ill, but that you did want to share with us your thoughts about Hubert Humphrey. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Fellow citizens of Minnesota, we were all deeply shocked this morning to read of the distressing news of the death of our beloved friend and great political figure in our beloved country, Hubert Humphrey. No matter how prepared we seem to be for the inevitable, we are never quite prepared, and it will take us a long, long time.
14 minutes after 1 o'clock, mostly cloudy in the Twin Cities now, and the temperature is 17 degrees. On the line with us now is Carmen Sarac, Jr. He's of St. Paul. His father has a disease of the nervous system, and Carmen tells us that his father wrote to Senator Humphrey and that Senator Humphrey replied in a letter dated December 1, 1977. We believe that this letter provides an insight into the spirit of Hubert Humphrey, and Carmen has volunteered to read that letter for us on the air. Are you there, Carmen?
Yes, I am, Bill.
All right, do you have the letter handy?
Yes, I do.
All right, let's hear what it says.
Okay, it says, it's dated December 1st, 1977, and it says, "Dear Mr. Sarac, I understand that you are going through a very difficult time, that you are battling with Lou Gehrig's disease. Well, my friend, I do have a good idea of what you are going through. The worst moment in my life was when I discovered that I had cancer. Battling with this disease as well as with Lou Gehrig's disease or a serious physical affliction is an..."
In February of 1976, Hubert Humphrey appeared with the Minnesota All-State Orchestra at Orchestra Hall in Minneapolis. The performance, a Lincoln portrait, and Hubert Humphrey was the narrator. Although Senator Humphrey's words were about Abraham Lincoln that February afternoon, with the music of Aaron Copland, we feel that this afternoon, January 14, 1978, they take on special meaning. Here is Senator Hubert Humphrey in February of 1976 with the Minnesota All-State Orchestra narrating Copland's A Lincoln Portrait.
Fellow citizens, we cannot escape history. That is what he said. That is what Abraham Lincoln said. Fellow citizens, we cannot escape history. We of this Congress and this administration.
With us now from Chicago, the Reverend Jesse Jackson of Operation Push, a civil rights leader, a man who knew and loved Hubert Humphrey. In fact, Reverend Jackson was one of the last to see Hubert Humphrey. He visited Waverly just last Saturday. Reverend Jackson, thank you for joining us this afternoon here on CCO Radio. And could you share your thoughts with us this afternoon about Hubert Humphrey?
Well, obviously our hearts are heavy with the passing of the senator. And yet our hearts are heartened by such a meaningful life. This man, Hubert Humphrey, not only voted for human rights, but he championed the cause of human rights. He marched to the drummer.
It wasn't long ago that special dinner was held. And Helen Reddy, well, many, many stars entertained there for the dinner for Senator Humphrey. This was a song that Helen Reddy sang. It was indicated many times by Hubert to be his favorite song. And let's play it now, shall we? This is You and Me Against the Word, written by Paul Williams.
Tomorrow afternoon, and again, you'll hear that broadcast coverage here on CCO Radio. Arv Johnson, our government correspondent, is at the Capitol in St. Paul in the Rotunda area. And what is the scene at this moment, Arv?
Well, Bill, the Capitol is not open to the public this afternoon. It will not be open until 8 o'clock, but already a few dozen people out front standing in the cold. In the rotunda where we are now, the floral displays are being put in place, beautiful floral displays, wreaths, sprays, and one large display in the form of the letter H and red roses with a border of greenery. Also,
those who...
home in Bloomington, where a crowd of about 300 people were waiting outside to pay their final respects. At 7:30 tonight, the casket was taken to the Minnesota State Capitol building in St. Paul, where it was placed in the rotunda. Monsignor Terence Murphy, the president of the College of St. Thomas in St. Paul, offered a prayer.
We are grateful for his keen intellect, his goodness, for his compassion for the unfortunate, his concern for others, his ability and willingness to forgive and forget the wrongs and misunderstandings he suffered, and for his heroic commitment to public service. He gave all of us a better and brighter vision of what human life can be and of the noble destiny of this nation of ours. Throughout this land and all over the globe, the unfortunate, the forgotten, the dispossessed, today not only hope for a better life, but know that it is possible to have a better life because of this splendid man's vision and unselfish labors.
The flag-enshrouded casket lies in state at this hour in the rotunda of the state capitol, as Minnesota citizens wait in the cold to say goodbye to the state's leading citizen. WCCO Radio's government correspondent Arv Johnson talked with a number of Humphrey's friends who were at the rotunda.
People have been moving through the rotunda of the Capitol for some time now, viewing the coffin, which is completely covered.
It's 1:20. We switch now to Dick Chapman, who is outside the state capitol in St. Paul. Dick?
Yes, the Sebanthony Baptist Choir has begun to sing. There has been no ceremony to remove the senator's body as yet. The Humphrey family, we believe, is just arriving. No one has emerged from the cars as yet, but several limousines have pulled up behind the hearse, which is only about 15 feet from where I'm speaking now.
You see them this week. Arv Johnson is at the House of Hope Presbyterian Church in St. Paul. What's going on now, Arv?
Well, Howard, despite that cold weather you were speaking of, one below Fahrenheit and much lower wind chill, people continue to stand outside House of Hope Presbyterian Church. The organ is playing, and we understand, we've been told, that President Carter has landed. Did land a few minutes ago, a light from his plane. Twin Cities Airport, so as the motorcade and the funeral coach bearing Senator Humphrey's body in a flag-draped casket approaches from the Capitol, we presume that President Carter is also nearing House of Hope Presbyterian Church en route in from the airport. You were speaking a moment ago about the... Sincere words, great music, a fitting farewell to Hubert H. Humphrey. These services have been broadcast from the House of Hope Presbyterian Church in St. Paul. The procession will now move to Lakewood Cemetery in Minneapolis. This is Arv Johnson.
Waiting until Mrs. Humphrey returns to her car before they join in to return to their vehicles. Now everyone is moving away, and these ceremonies are over. But it's not as though we're seeing the senator for the last time, because I believe in the mind's eye of all Minnesotans, indeed all Americans, we'll see him the rest of our lives. This is Dick Chapman from Lakewood Cemetery in Minneapolis.
And so we conclude this special broadcast by WCCO and reporter Dick Chapman from the gravesite at Lakewood Cemetery. A quick look at the weather. Tonight, clear, very cold, low of around 20 below. Tuesday in the Twin Cities...